Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Monday stream. It's
Hello.
Monday. Oh boy, I sure do like lasagna. I mean,
No, we had spaghetti for dinner,
we
silly.
did. Well, I was gonna say we did have spaghetti for dinner, but
It was really good spaghetti, if I do say so myself.
that's to the one person watching for our weather reports. It's gone sideways. It's gone grim.
To be fair, it was really bad the last few days, but actually, as it's come into this evening, I can see a little break of blue sky, which is a nice change.
Yeah, the reason Evelyn sounded like she was in a cardboard box and because she was facing the window.
Yes. Well, how else am I going to tell people what the weather is without looking?
Fair enough, fair enough. I do listen back sometimes. It does get a little bit room tony, but we do try, we do try. Apart from that, I don't know. There's not much else to report. We'll hopefully have some news on live events relatively soon.
Yes.
But we're just kind of doing our regular preamble and saying hello.
I suppose in the topic of live events, we probably should have mentioned it sooner and actually made a bit of an effort too. So a slight faux pas on my front there. But the Alexander Adams, Pharaoh, and a few other people whose names I either will choose not to pronounce slash may have forgotten, are doing a art exhibition in London, I think, during the course of almost this entire week, and will be open to the public from tomorrow. I'm sure the details for that could probably be brought up on Alexander Adams's Twitter, because I know he was tweeting about it at one point. But I suppose we can't just view tweets, can we? Because you have to be logged in. You bug. Ah! It's so frustrating. Yeah, I'm just looking at his Twitter there.
Yeah, I think I can still, there it is. I'll get this on screen quickly for people. But here
So
is the exhibition.
if you happen to be in London, I know some of the Weavers are going. We were thinking about going, but kind of a bit busy doing other stuff and didn't really get round to planning it with enough notice. But
Today to the
please,
ninth, yes.
yes, please do go show up and appreciate the art stuff that people have put together from our spheres. I may or may have not also had a brief word with Mr. Adams, and we may or may not put on maybe some possibly supporting events in future for any exhibitions they have, so that there's, maybe a little bit of an evening meal and a night out to sort of give it a little bit of a value add.
Give it some pizzazz, yes, but
Well,
it's.
it also means as well it's a 5-day exhibit, it's open at all these different times. If you know that, say for example, in this instance, that there would have been a night out involving dinner somewhere and going to a pub on the
Yeah.
8th of July, it means all the people are going to congregate there, and there's going to be 20 or 30 folk that are all going to spend the day together.
I hate to be sound kind of gay about it, but this is more than just the streams we do. There is a community behind this. There's a
Yes.
community amongst all the kind of creators and creatives, and a lot of that does bear fruit and is starting to bear fruit. It's been years in the making, some of this stuff. A lot of work goes into it. So do be heartened. There are things going on, people are gathering, people are putting on art exhibitions.
We will not. Well, it's just a coincidence that we have the Glow Watch badge up just now. Alexander Adams is a friend.
Oh
He is
no,
not.
he
He
is,
is not
yes.
a fed.
No, the glow watch is for what we'll be talking about as we move
Yes.
forward.
We will
But
quick.
I will quickly go through the fact that we have changed donation method, or at least in terms of non-YouTube taxable donation method. A lot of you have reached out, and yeah, I'm glad we didn't go the whole entropy route and things like that.
Because that seems to have kind of gone tits up now.
Yes, but we have settled on using Ko-fi or coffee, or however you say it, because it is hooked up to Stripe. You can donate via any payment method you would like to. I will keep the coffee open as we continue with the stream, and that is the currently the YouTube tax-free way to donate.
Are people able to write messages via that?
Yes, they
Or.
are.
All right, that's
They very
good.
much are able to write. In fact, I'm able to reply to them, and I'm able to put them publicly with them having a pseudonym as well if they want to.
That's
So
very
that can be
good.
displayed on the page. That's an extra functionality. So we're doing the coffee thing. The PayPal is still there if you have that saved and you'd rather use that. But this is just a bit more widely available.
There is
And
also
yeah.
still the usual super chats and super stickers, and also the Substack. So I suppose in a roundabout way, there is all sorts of ways to support us if you would wish to
Yes.
do that, which we would be quite glad of, because a lot of this takes quite a bit of work sometimes, and it's just nice to know that people appreciate it.
Okay, and there is a big piece out on the Substack if you want to read something a bit longer form. Some people said they enjoyed it. So, yes, we have lots of stuff going on. I've recorded a little bit of it, and I might be putting up another one of the Substack articles from like 2021 as an audio thing.
Yeah.
But be warned, don't wait for the current stuff to go up as audio stuff, because it will literally take like there's like a 2 year lag basically. So if you wanna read it, don't wait. Oh,
well,
I'll wait for the written, wait for the audio version. You've been waiting a long time.
I think actually from the previous discussion last week, we could maybe do it in a certain sense where if people have a preferred piece on the Substack they would like to have put into audio form as, say, a commissioned piece, as it were.
Ah, yes.
And you wanted to maybe throw us a little bit of money of that, we will happily commission an audio bit of the Substack in your honour, as it were.
Yes, yes, of course. We're open to the shilling and doing the shekels. But it has been more than 5 minutes.
And we really probably should get a move on, because we've got quite a lot to go over.
We do have quite a lot to
but
go over.
What we are going to do, I think, in this and in possibly the next 3 or 4 streams, with a couple of intervals in between, because we've got a couple of guests, and I will also be on someone else's channel next week, but a bit more than that later. We want to show you, at least as far as we can see it, what, you know, how could we map out what the right is, where the influence comes from, where the money comes from, where the connections are, and where it all flows and stems from, and what direction it's trying to move to. You've got here, you know, this is the start of a series of streams analysing the persistence of outside voices, outside money within the British, right? And how supposedly, I should say, dissident spaces are filled with rhetoric that has its source with the security services and globalist interests.
I would say that as a starting point, we should try to sever ourselves from the money teat of organisations such as the UK government, the Conservative Party, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all other large global NGOs. I think as a starting point, we should be financially separate from them. And those who are in our spheres, as a minimum point, those who speak on our shows, those
should
who
not take money from
should
our enemies.
Should not take money from our enemies. The problem is, they do.
Yes.
And they do en masse. And really what we'll be showing you is how GB News, how Talk TV, how Unheard, how basically every alternative media platform in existence platforms people or has people directly involved who take money from the Home Office, who take money from quite literally the Israel lobby, who take money from the American neocons like the Koch brothers and people like that. There comes a lot of strings.
We will preface this stream, of course, by suggesting that we love the good people of the nation of
we
Israel.
We do love the nation of Israel, but we do not love the nation of Israel as much as the Henry Jackson Society
does. It is a sound nation, it's legitimate, and its democracy is impeachable.
Yes, and it is I would go as far to say that Israel is the height of democracy and democratization.
Democracy in Israel now. Maybe one last framing point, and I think this is something that people take for granted with the left wing stuff, is that, you know, Vice or, you know, when you used to have Gawker back in the day, post millennial, all these different leftists out with the Verge. These are big tech, which are in and of themselves a front for big finance and the banks, essentially talking to certain groups of people with certain specific interests as like finance.
Yes.
You know, we've shown it time and time and again that between left-wing NGOs, left-wing media outlets, and elements of governance and big business, that there is an interplay between all of these people, and they can almost be chopped and changed between these positions at will. You know, to sort of make it so it's a little bit harder for you to work out what's going on.
Yes.
There exists the exact same in the right. And it's become so obvious to us now from just viewing what's happening on Twitter and elsewhere amongst people that, you know, we know and know of, that it started to be quite worrying. So we just want to show you it all. And we have some conclusions, but just this for the sake of putting it all out there, really. Because otherwise, no one else will.
We would like to take you on a journey and use the Henry Jackson Society as an example of the compromises inherent in being a regime-attached, quote-unquote, right-wing think tank. We will be assuming a decent amount of background knowledge in terms of UK politics. I know a lot of people enjoy that, and I know some people get quite confused by it. But we will be at least assuming that you know one, what a think tank is, and two, partially how think tanks relate to policy and governance in the UK, because I think that's quite a big discussion, and we don't really have time to do the
There,
idiot's guide to think
yeah,
tanks.
one
So
last point I know as well. I believe AA's cigar stream this evening is with Patrick Casey on the post-liberal stuff. So think of this for anyone that's going to watch both as like a UK primer for some of the stuff they'll be talking about. But anyway,
yes,
we shall get moving.
we shall get
We will
motoring.
start, of course, with one gentleman, one Henry M. Jackson,
Yes.
born in, was it 1912? Essentially, as he's described here, a Cold War liberal and anti-communist Democrat. Jackson supported higher military spending and a hard line against the Soviet Union while also supporting social welfare programs, civil rights, and labor unions. Now, this one Henry M. Jackson character, or Scoop Jackson as he is referred to,
Yes.
seems to be at least a somewhat prominent figure in American politics because I've brought up the Henry Jackson Society with people, and the only people that really recognize it at all are Americans that go, oh yeah, Henry M. Jackson, that like war hawk Democrat that we used to have, like from.
Yes, he
What
is.
was it, the 40s right through to nearly the 80s? So like a lifelong like Biden style
If
Democrat in a
you
lot of
think it's a
ways.
bit odd, a UK right-wing think tank being named after an American Democratic Party kind of war hawk, you'd be right. It is a bit odd because the Henry Jackson Society is a little bit odd in terms of its aims and its people
Yes.
and the various forms of what it has been.
If we go to the next link we've got there and we look on, is it page 9 in this document that we've got? This is just from one of the internal meetings of the American version of the Henry M. Jackson Foundation, I believe it's called.
Yes.
But I just thought this was a great summation of all the values we are going to see that were represented then and are represented through all of this stuff. Jackson also understood the struggle of civil rights as more than a part of a geopolitical battle between two superpowers. Already there, we're talking about the linking between civil rights and the battle against communism for some reason.
Yes.
He understood the psychological impact of discrimination. In April 1968, responding to the tragic assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, whose holiday we just celebrated this week, Senator Jackson gave it an aspar Senator Jackson gave it a speech in which he talked about the legacy and injustice of inequality. He pointed out that black Americans, particularly those living in the ghetto and every day denied the dignity of a human or the simple courtesy and respect that every human being owes another. Jackson continued, "A man's most precious possession is his dignity, his pride. Without it, he is less than a man. Prejudice and discrimination destroy that most precious possession." So that's from some 2008 speech with one of the main guys from the American Foundation, which happens to be called the Henry M. Jackson Foundation for the Advancement of Military Medicine.
Yes.
What does that have to do with civil rights, Mr. Jackson? But anyway, we'll move over because that's sort of just who the guy is and the fact that there was an American foundation
That's
set
where
up
the
from the
name
80s.
comes from, and
Yes.
that's you'll see it originally as an arm of an American project. It
Yes.
is a transatlantic foreign policy national security think tank, as it says there, and the national security part is quite important to them. What we will see moving forward
It's the UK version.
is the UK
Well,
version of this.
it's international, but it's based in the UK.
Yes.
As they say here, Henry Jackson Society is a transatlantic foreign policy and national security think tank based in the UK. While describing itself as non-partisan, its outlook has been described as variously as neoliberal and as neoconservative. The society identifies itself with a forward strategy to spread democracy and liberal values globally. Now we can go to the next thing that we've got, which is an old archive post from their original website all the way back in 2005, announcing the launch, and just who happened to be there to launch the site itself.
Yes.
You know, the and
This
the
is from the old Henry Jackson Society website. This is via the Wayback Machine. And as you can see, this is Cambridge, 11th of March 2005. This is their statement of principles.
launched inside the Cambridge University, of
Yes.
course. Pursuit of a robust foreign policy was one of Henry Scoop Jackson's most central concerns. This would be based on clear universal principles such as the global promotion of the rule of law, liberal democracy, civil rights, environmental responsibility, and market economy. More and more, the fundamental enduring values of the modern democratic world eventually prevailed. We can maybe just have a brief look at their principles they've got
our
here.
No, it's just the stuff here. Our failures in the former Yugoslavia were more than just moral. Through their impact on the credibility of our international institutions, such as NATO and the EU, they had a profound effect on national interests of Western powers. These fiascos show that we have to engage robustly and sometimes preventatively.
Yes.
Preventative intervention. As you will see by the signatories here, the original version of the Henry Jackson Society is just neocon war hawks.
It and also is, yeah. key players in the security state.
It, well, again, pro-war.
Yeah. I mean, their principles here, we believe that modern liberal democracies set an example to which the rest of the world should aspire.
War for democracy?
Forward strategy to assist those countries that are not yet liberal and democratic to become so. This would involve the full spectrum of our carrot capacities, be they diplomatic, economic, cultural, or political, but also, when necessary, those sticks of the military domain. Which really should just give you, like, the pure neocon byline of all of this stuff that is just throughout it. It was the 1/6 there. The Henry Jackson Society believes that only modern liberal democratic states are truly legitimate. That any international organization which admits undemocratic states on an equal basis is fundamentally flawed. And then we'll scroll down here, we'll look at the signatories.
The signatories here, yeah.
Member of Parliament for Davies. Gerard Baker, Assistant Editor of the Times.
Yes.
Paul Beaver, Special Advisor to the Parliamentary Defence Committee. Professor Paul Bew, Professor of Politics, Queen's University, Belfast. Professor Vernon Bogdanor, Brannos
blah, blah, blah. College. We've got Nicol Bowles here, the Director of Policy Exchange, we'll come to later.
Commander of the 1st Battalion Royal Irish Regiment in Iraq. Professor Paul Cornish, Professor of International Security. We've got Master of Pembroke College, former head of MI6, Dr. Richard Dearlove.
So Richard Dearlove's there, yes. Sorry, the former head of MI6 is present at the founding of the...
We've got
a military advisor from Bosnia. Michael Gove is just here.
Rob Halfen, political director of the Conservative Friends of Israel. Times columnist, former member of Parliament. Member of Parliament for Rotherham. That's
yeah,
an interesting one.
Dennis McShane, the parliamentarian who was asleep at the wheel during the Rotherham scandal. Yes.
Director J Associates, which I'm pretty sure is a big finance house. More Times Colleges. More people from the University of Cambridge. Personal advisor at the Prime Minister for Defence and Security. Author, journalist, TV presenter.
A NATO official.
Yeah. Director of Economic Policy Studies, Hudson Institute. Member of Parliament. Former Member of Parliament. So on, so forth.
Basically, it's war hawks and conservative MPs.
Yes.
War hawks, media people, professors, basically everyone who looked at the Iraq war went, aha!
Yes.
More of that, please. There was actually a report on it by The Guardian. Once again, I'm going to try not to scroll down to the bottom here so it doesn't remind me I've read like 700 Guardian articles. But there was a contemporary report here, literally just called Inside the Hawk's Nest. And it's funny that The Guardian is criticising them basically the same way we would, because they're a bunch of war drums beating neocons at this stage, like as their founding principle. Old neocons never die. They rebrand and carry on. So the launch of the Henry Jackson Society and its project for democratic geopolitics at Westminster tonight, by invitation only, is an event worth watching. So it basically just talks about the same with the principles and who was there. Richard Peel, one of the Pentagon advisors credited with persuading George Bush for the case of invading Iraq. Word for Henry Jackson is one of the society's patrons. A list of patrons reads like a roll call of hawks. Bill Kristol of the right-wing Weekly Standard.
NATO commander Jack Sheenan, ex-CIA director James Woolsey, among others.
The supporters include a smattering of spooks, diplomats, Times journalists, and grandees whom recent events have treated badly. David Trimble, Colonel Tim Collins, Owen Setzer, another Cameron fan, and former head of MI6, again, Sir Richard Dearlove. They're basically pointing out the fact that this is just all the neocons going, don't worry, chap, we're all going to land on our feet. And that is the purpose of the Henry Jackson Society as it is founded in 2005. They are just neocon war hawks at this stage. So not the best basis for a based think tank that has many of its members, spoiler alert, on GB News and many of its events attended by the hot rising anti-woke stars of the day.
Yes.
but here's where this comes from. When you see the Henry Jackson Society, you see something founded by pro-Iraq war neocons.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's just one of the examples of the sort of coverage that people get. You know, this is from the Jewish Telegraph. I don't know, the website looks like crap. But
it's one of
the first things that comes up when you try and search for Dr. Alan Mendoza, the main director of
the Henry Jackson
Society.
Yes.
Even as an 11-year-old, he had a passion for the subject and recalls arguing with fellow pupils at his primary school about who to vote for. It basically just like lauding him as being like a really good guy, because of course he loves the nation of Israel too.
He does, yes.
I mean, then we've got more stuff here. This is their white paper, I believe it's called Democratic Geopolitics, which was listed alongside a lot of like very early policy exchange and also alongside a lot of the stuff from the David Cameron government.
Yes.
And it's essentially this sort of neocon outlook of, well, we really like what Tony Blair did, but we don't like his aesthetics. So let's adopt his entire sort of geopolitical strategy and call it something else.
Well, basically, this was the Henry Jackson Society being used as policy cover for the continuation of the forever wars by the Cameron government.
Yeah, but this is them involved with that Cameron government. You know, John Bew being one of the people mentioned and the previous establishment of it, who worked at the time at the Social Affairs Unit, which is, again, another one of these NGOs, in 2006. So it's only really been established a few months, and like that, or maybe a year or so at most, they're all of a sudden handing things to governing bodies. It's like, that's a bit interesting.
The Middle East and the many other regions from which the international community once averted its eyes, the moral and material resources of Britain are needed more than ever.
Mm.
Basically just them going, invade, invade, invade.
Well, yeah,
I hate the war hawks, I hate the war hawks, I hate the war hawks.
I mean, just to add to some more framing here, I'll just go through the little bit we've got in the document. They're basically neocons that are always grasping for a cause, or at least they were in the early years, which is sort of consisted of latching on to different geopolitical issues with a very war hawk bent. They're, of course, very pro-Israel and pro all the forever wars in the Middle East. That would involve into a relationship with the UK security state over Islamism, which we'll get to in some of the Shawcross stuff later, one that has now been extended to when it comes to countering the far right, which appears to be their new role to some extent.
Yes.
Democratic geopolitics, this thing we're viewing here, as was said before, this white paper and book from the Henry Jackson Society, supported by the Social Affairs Unit, lauding a Blairite approach to geopolitics. The Social Affairs Unit appears to be little else than just an arm for the Institute for Economic Affairs, which the IEA is another group that will probably come up at some point along all these different things we've got. There is, of course, heavy connection to Zionism throughout. One of the few reasons why there is semi-decent lefty exposés and research into the Henry Jackson Society is just because of this connection.
Yes.
And this is the sort of thing you get. I mean, this is from, I think it's page 10, we'll be wanting at the start, and we'll get to the Home Office stuff.
Okay,
later.
A large problem we've encountered is that most of the criticism of the Henry Jackson Society comes from the left, and especially from Islamic organizations.
Yes.
Because they were used as part of the sharp end of the British security state as it relates to the quote unquote war on terror. They were partially related to some of the de-escalation and prevent style stuff that we saw previously. In fact, we'll talk about some more of the prevent stuff later, but it turns out it was basically just a pissing contest between different NGOs about who gets to play with the prevent strategy ball.
Yeah.
But this is from a SOAS, which I believe is it's a soft Islamist publication that is unhappy because they have pointed out, and to be fair, a cleric took the Home Office basically to court over part of these connections, which is where some of this discovery comes from. We have here a report in the, I don't know, do you want to read the...
Yeah, I can read some of the little snippets here. In 2014, the HGS, Henry Jackson Society, withdrew from the all-party parliamentary group on homeland and international security after refusing to comply with the Parliamentary Standards Commissioner's demand to disclose its funding sources.
Yes.
However, it still seems to exist as a charity, as far as we can tell. But I'm more than that later. Appears that a significant source of HGS funding comes from the American donors, including Nina Rosenwald's Abstraction Fund and Hertog Foundation. Nina Rosenwald herself has been dubbed the sugar mama of anti-Muslim hate.
Again, now, the left and the Islamists always make them sound a lot cooler than they are.
But
they're
I
not.
Think of this in the vein that AA's put forward with the counter-jihad narrative.
Yes.
That when they're saying this, we understand it as that. And as the founder and director of the Gatestone Institution, which has been accused of promoting the white genocide theory. Alongside the HGS, millions of dollars have been contributed by Rosenwald to organisations such as the Centre for Security Policy, Project Ijtihad, whatever that is, by Ijtihad, the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, the Middle East Forum, the Clarion Fund, the Commentary Magazine, the Hudson Institute, as well as the Gatestone Institute. And we can just kind of scroll down here to, they've basically, through some form of court or Freedom Information
some of this stuff came out in court, I believe.
Yeah. They're saying here, HGS's funding sources, the traditional alternatives funds donated £195,000 to HGS in 2009, £125,000 in 2010, and £222,500 in 2013. The foundation was set up by Lord Stanley Kams, who's also the founder of the Stanley Kams Foundation, which appears to be a further source of HGS funding. Lord Kams' son, Baron Kams, who sits as a trustee of the Traditional Alternatives Foundation, was also a frequent donor to the Tory party, but was expelled in 2009 after voting for UKIP. We've had the example of Nina Rosenwald. One I thought was interesting, the Japanese embassy was given them money to promote anti-Chinese propaganda.
That's kind of funny.
Emerson Family Foundation in LA donated quite large amounts of money. Also gave £100,000 to Turning Point USA, and then I believe there's even more listed under here.
Yeah.
The Myron Zimmerman Foundation.
Jack Roth.
Who also gave money to David Horowitz.
Yeah.
The UK Home Office has made 4 payments to HGS amounting to over £80,000. The payments were made under the tenure of Home Secretaries Theresa May, Amber Rudd and Sajid Javid. Why would the Home Office be giving these people money?
We have some more detailed reports, but here we see the Jack Rothschild Foundation, the Myron Zimmerman Foundation. There's also, I believe, the funding sources, as we've seen, are very opaque, though.
Yes.
That is the issue. The issue here is that we don't really fully know who funds the Henry Jackson Society. But when we do look at them, it tends to be Jewish organisations, the Home Office, and neocon Warhawk still at this stage.
Yes.
Although that has moved on slightly. As we'll see, they have become more and more reliant on their proximity to both the Home Office and the intelligent community as time has gone on. But this is kind of a good overview of the foundations they receive things from, the funding that they have.
It shows the sort of circles they swim in.
Yes. You've got a whole thing here. I don't know what bit you want to pick out of this, because there's a lot.
There is just a little funding section in here as well, if you just want to look at funding. Scroll back up, sorry.
Oh, you're doing it again.
D does it every time. Just scroll up at something just there.
Yes.
Keep going.
Really?
We're looking for there's just a section that says fund and scroll up.
There you go.
It's basically just the same stuff. This just confirms that a lot of the sources used in that previous one work. They've got other examples here as well. They talk about Civitas. That's the center for some solutions for another thing, which is another think tank we'll probably get to at some point in one of the other streams. The Wigadur Family Foundation is a London-based charity registered in 2000. Although the foundation's resources are quite significant, to date only £20,000 has been allocated to the Henry Jackson Society. The current trustees of the foundation are Martin Rose, Charles Francis Wigadur, and his wife Elizabeth. The Honourable Charles Francis Wigadur is a telecoms millionaire who served as the Chief Executive Officer of Telecom Plus until 2010, son of former Lord Basil Wigadur QC, Liberal Chief Whip in the House of Lords from 1977 to 1984. He's a known contributor to the Conservative Party and has made campaign contributions to Conservative MPs.
We're getting a bit in the weeds here.
Fair enough, it's just I was going to go into the United Jewish Israel appeal. There's all this stuff here. There's so much of it.
We're kind of burying the lead here, I think. to a quite an extreme degree. The issue here is not the fact that they have various different foundation funding sources. The biggest issue here is the £80,000 they took from the Home Office while consulting with the Home Office.
Well, but there is also, again, there another connection to the Conservative Party in the fact that they are taking numerous large sums of money from people from the Centre of Policy Studies, the Centre for Social Cohesion, all these different think tanks that all have this Zionist sort of blend to them.
Well, yes, but the biggest issue is the fact that they have a very large conflict of interest when it comes to Westminster.
Well, I was going to say actually, what we can do is because we're on the right page here, we can tangent just into the
I'm
just
afraid
journalism
this there's
stuff.
no way to make this display properly. It's just a big fucking fat chunk of text, and it will completely ruin. Oh, maybe there we go. We can just about get that over. I have to shift it again. The modern web is terrible. So
Yeah.
what do you want to talk? I'll just I'll be quiet.
Well, no, I was going to say we can get onto the just journalism section.
Okay.
I was trying to get through some of the other looser bits so we can get to the stuff that's a bit more cohesive.
No, I'm rambling because I've lost my way here, but I found it again. It's okay.
It's in this link, you just need to search it up or scroll down.
There's a better source for that. This is a bit rambling.
That's the one that.
I've tried to condense some of it in the document. So, where are we here? It seems that they were also part of an outfit called Just Journalism. There's a little bit here, but I believe that it's quite limited. Where's it gone?
Might be further up. Maybe it's another one. My
I'm pretty sure
fault, sorry.
it's not.
It's
Yeah,
in
I'm pretty
the
sure it's not in
Influence Watch
here.
one. It'll be the next link then.
The Influence Watch one has a little stub on this, let's say, but there is more going on here. Nope, it's not in here either. It doesn't matter.
Well,
What does matter is the fact that
sorry, it'll be in this one. That power base one. See, this is the thing with this, because there's no one's collected any of this stuff, you have to go through 15 different like lefty NGO aggregation websites to get any of this crap. But anyway, we've got to where we need to be. Apologies for that. Yeah, but I thought I'm not gonna read it all, am I? My voice will be a bit done.
I was just we're just jumping around a bit here. I didn't I did say it wasn't. Anyway, while I find where I'm up to,
Plus, we're on the just journalism stuff that you'd put together.
yes. The issue is that they were running another think tank called Just Journalism out of the same office, it seems. Rather than going through this link that is largely inconsequential, I'll just go to the actual source of what was said, which is from somebody who left the Henry Jackson Society called
Marco
Marco Attilia
Attalahore,
Hore,
or whatever
who
the.
was, I've double checked, he was definitely a member.
Well, he's one of the founding members.
Yes, I was going to
That's
say,
what the snippet
I was
in.
going to say he was one of the founding members of the Henry Jackson Society. And what he says about this is quite far down this essay, but he talks about basically a coup going on within it. The people who replaced the Henry Jackson Society founders at the head of the organization were staff members of another think tank, the Israel advocacy organization, Just Journalism. Oh God, it shifts up when you zoom in. How awful. Of which Mendoza was a member of the advisory board and which shared the Henry Jackson Society's London office. At the time of Just Journalism launch in March 2008, the Spectator columnist Melanie Phillips wrote of it, a very welcome and desperately needed initiative that has just been launched to monitor distortions, bias, and prejudice in British media coverage of the Middle East. Just Journalism was forced to close in September 2011, only 3.5 years after its launch, due to lack of funds, but not before the financially destitute outfit had taken over its financially thriving roommate. Just Journalism's executive director, Michael Weiss, joined the Henry Jackson Society staff in 2010. He goes on to say, in addition to Weiss, oh sorry, two of the members of Just Journalists Advisory Board joined the Henry Jackson Society senior staff, Robin Shepherd as Director of International Affairs and Douglas Murray as Associate Director. Thus, four of the six top posts of the Henry Jackson Society were now held by former managers of Just Journalism. They have ensured that the Henry Jackson Society's political goals have departed radically from which it was founded, from those of which it was founded. So this is a guy who, for all intents and purposes, as far as I can tell, is one of the weird neocon Slight Warhawk people.
Yes.
But he was alarmed by the fact that an explicitly pro-Israel group that was essentially living in the same office and using the same resources took over in his from his point of view, the Henry Jackson Society stuff. And I'm sorry, I've just realized it's probably way too far over in the window there. Give me a second. That's probably cutting it. Yeah, this one's all the way to the other side. Lovely. Where's it gone? For those who wish for any kind of confirmation of this, they did hold joint events.
How to stop the delegitimization of Israel, just journalism, and the Henry Jackson Society.
Invite you to a panel on how to stop the delegitimization of Israel. The problem is, what does all this have to do with conservatism and Britain?
Yes.
Here's another one. Just journalism forced to close. There's a great quote in here just at the end. Robert Shepherd, International Affairs Director of the Henry Jackson Society and a member of Just Journalism's Advisory Board, said, "This is a great pity, and the cause of Israel and Britain will be poorer for it."
But wait, there's more.
Is there
Because
more?
well, we can get on to the next thing that they did not long after this, which is the Friends of Israel Initiative.
Yes, of course, but I would say that the we've got here some Henry Jackson Society, Wiki corporates, Influence
Influence
Watch,
Watch, yeah.
and also Powerbase. They were good for stems, but the actual links themselves, the places you want to go.
Yeah.
I don't know why we spent so much. Anyway,
I just had that as a central point for us to look at the other bits off of.
okay. Just journalism. Yep. Where are we here? The former Henry Jackson
We've
Society member
done that bit.
Marco Alita Jorge. Yeah, sorry. Where is this?
We're
Yeah, Just Journalism's media analyst Chris Laws, an Oxford's University graduate, is now campaigns officer for the Zionist Federation. For the Zionist Federation. I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I think there might be some very heavy links between the Henry Jackson Society and the Israeli lobby.
You
I don't want to
don't
alarm. I
say.
don't want to alarm anybody. But when you see Henry Jackson Society, you may as well see things like the Conservative Friends of Israel. But anyway.
As if it was Loblog or whatever this site is. This is just another source that confirms stuff from one of the other
Yeah.
Powerbase pages. But this is them essentially welcoming the Friends of Israel group into the first sort of launch of their initiative of the Friends of Israel in the UK. And this was, of course, done by the Henry Jackson Society. Because who else would do it?
Apparently, I don't know. Apologies if there's table banging. I don't mean there to be. I think it might just be because of the Yeti's bass. The Yeti's a bit bad for transmitting vibrations, so I won't close those. Though I think we need those. But yeah, it's very, very clear. Very clear. I think we're kind of belt and braces it at this point. But is there any more of this when you read?
No, we can just keep going. Okay. Added value, Israel's strategic worth to the European Union and its member states.
Well, this is still them kind of doing the tail end of their neocon arc. This is how they reinvent themselves, the Henry Jackson Society, as a very aggressively pro-Israel and counter-jihadi, let's say, outfit in which they use the red meat of the war on terror and the jihadi threat to push in all these other narratives. That's how a lot of the transitional stuff during the Cameron years worked. That is the bridge between the war on terror and the culture war are things like the Henry Jackson
Yes.
Society. They provide a large amount of continuity there.
And then we've got, well, I think this is one of the ones that becomes a point where all of this starts to blur and
Yes.
mesh. We have an event brought to them by Isabel Sawkins, who was one of their research members. Now, if you try and find anywhere that's actually a direct source that exists today that tells you Isabel Sawkins was a researcher at the Henry Jackson Society, you will actually struggle to do this a little bit, which we thought was a tad convenient.
There's a lot of stuff like that. A lot of stuff regarding the Henry Jackson Society seems to disappear down the memory hole.
But it's very simple to go from, you know, being pro-Zionist for geopolitical interests, and all of a sudden you work in anti-Semitism within the UK and more
Yes.
subsequently anti-Semitism online. Now, I believe if you quickly search up on this page online safety bill, it might be his online harms. My apologies.
Yes, there it is.
Keep going because I think it's got the bill part in it. Yes. So this section here, we've got Isabel Sawkins, who's the host of this sort of Zoom group kind of thing from a couple of years ago. She's basically commenting on what the last person had said, one of the guests, and is going on to now ask people questions. So one of the first people she asks a question is some woman called Hannah Short, who works for Margaret Hodge MP. She asks him, what would you like to address the panelists with? And Hannah Short, who works for a Conservative MP, just happens to put her hand up and say, "Don't you think the online harms bill would be really useful for fighting anti-Semitism online?" And it's like, well, that's a bit convenient, isn't it? Why would you just happen to bring up that policy? Unless, of course, you want to force all these things together.
Basically, the culmination is in 2021, the Henry Jackson Society is putting forward the idea that the online harms bill that we've discussed needs to be used as a cudgel to beat people online for quote unquote anti-Semitism. It's very similar to what you also see from all of the left. All of the left, sorry. Apologies, my brain has died today. I have gone completely silly.
Oh no.
I'm on like battery saving retard mode. So yeah, what an amazing
I
coincidence.
just thought this was worth sticking in here as
Oh,
well.
it
So
is.
the Henry Jackson Society is, of course, years ahead on the Russia issue.
Well, they're neocon warhawks, of course they
Yes.
are. But they
9 years ago, this is from nearly.
in fact, I found this is from what, 2014?
Yeah, 22nd September says over
I
there.
found something even earlier than that from one of their first actions, one of their first
The
write-ups.
group of eight.
From 2006 was saying that Russia should be expelled from the G8. This is 10 years maybe after their admission to the G8.
It's if not less, but yes.
But that it's very, again, very clear that they have never dropped that warhawk aspect to them. They've merely folded in all of these other unpleasant aspects to their bow as a feather in their cap, let's say. They've just absorbed agendas. It's a great way to survive. It's a great way to multiply your funding. But the big problem really is all of this in isolation would not be as bad. But the two prongs of this, again, this has mostly been kind of preamble and showing you where they come from, what they've done, what they're
Yes.
involved in, showing you these are not people you want to ally with. Unfortunately, these have both a hand in the UK government and a hand in reaching down into our circles
But these,
directly.
yes, people who have been involved in the Henry Jackson Society have had, at least as far as we can tell, major influence over some of the decision making that has been made at the executive level in Britain and the international community for over 15 years. Now, the other possible option is that they have no influence whatsoever and are just the mouthpiece for that agenda. Both of these things are bad things if these people are working themselves into our
Now
sphere.
that I've regained my brain, and apologies for being so confused and elderly for a second there, the Charity Commission basically had to give the Henry Jackson Society a slap on the wrist
Is
because they.
this for the Japanese embassy one where they paid them for the Chinese
Yes, it is, but
propaganda?
it's very, very clear that, like most left-wing NGOs, that the Henry Jackson Society is an explicitly political outfit that does explicitly political actions. Over and above the usual neutrality washing that the outfits who hide all this can do. This was too egregious, I think, in 2017. The Charity Commission gave them a slap on the wrist. I believe they had part of their charitable status vote, but not
That's
fully.
why they left the all political parties group
Oh, okay, yes.
beforehand, because there's a level of neutrality that they don't meet, but this level of neutrality they do meet, which has helped, of course, because William Shawcross, chair of the Charity Commission, was a member of the Society's council.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit because the Shawcross connection is quite heavy. But I want to preface this by saying that they have the same level of immunity as a left-wing NGOs have. They have effectively been told through a wink and a nod that they can get away with not obeying the charity rules, like all the other NGOs do.
Yes.
So it's very clear that they are not somebody given the chance that the establishment would remove because it is impossible, basically, as a as an NGO that does political advising to not fall foul of these rules. That's by design. That means they can only have political NGOs that they like. But they have managed to survive because they have such close relation to the regime. Here's where that again, Islamist connection comes in, because they've been kind of hollering into the darkness about the Henry Jackson Society for years, because there is a relatively corrupt link here to the Home Office. I know people might be saying, oh, well, it's based, they're going after Islamists, but whatever is used in the war on terror eventually is turned on us. It is basically, we can show a pathway here that they have pioneered a method of collaborating with the Home Office in a way that then can then be used on the rest of the UK population. They did so through the lens of the tail end of the war on terror. Revealed Home Office outsourcing surveillance to far-right Henry Jackson Society, and all of the criticism comes from a leftward position. The biggest problem that we have is that nobody is criticizing these fake right-wing NGOs from the right.
No.
We've got a lot more to go here,
No,
so
let's keep going, just churn
that's
through
why I
them.
was trying to get through stuff earlier.
No, I know.
A recent High Court judgment has exposed the British government outsources the designation of extremists for security purposes to the Henry Jackson Society. And they don't just do it for Islamists. The Henry Jackson Society has several well-published right-wing links, blah, 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 blah. The
In the case
case.
of Dr. Salmanbach versus Home Office, it was revealed that the Prevent strategy uses information gathered by the Opaque and Covert Extremism Analysis Unit to identify extremists. The EAU in turn uses information on individuals and organizations produced and provided by the
Henry
Henry
Jackson
Jackson Society.
Society. So, Islamist today, but as we'll see, the far right tomorrow.
Or anti-extremism every
Well, yes, it is. They
day.
are involved in counter-extremism. They're involved in some of the same programs that led to, well, the London Bridge attack as well. That is where all this, the Prevent program and all of that, and the what
Because
is it, the intervention.
well, the other side of this as well is the people involved in the Centre for Social Cohesion, which was a Douglas Murray group in Cambridge before the Henry Jackson Society, which it all got rolled up into.
Yes.
Anyway, but again, we've got another source here from Open Democracy. Again, I know left-wing site, but Home Office paid 80 grand to a lobby group which has funded Conservative MPs, Priti Patel, Michael Gove, paid thousands in benefits, basically round circularly to these people back into the
Yes.
Henry Jackson Society and back out.
Michael Gove keeps coming up in all of these things that we
It's
see.
interesting,
He's
isn't it?
one
It
of the
was he was
best.
there right when it
He's one
opened.
of the best connected people when it comes to all of these think tanks. And again, when you see the Henry Jackson Society, when you see their members, you'd not only see conservative war hawks, the Nation of Israel, you also just see the UK Home Office, as in MI5. The UK Home Office is the blanket organization that's responsible for it, but really you're seeing the intelligence community when you
Military
see.
upper brass and
Yes.
members of NATO.
The Home Office, despite pretending to be doddering and useless, are a serious outfit. And receiving money from them directly as an NGO is a huge breach of what is supposed to be the firewall. They are supposed to not do this directly. They usually do it via proxies and proxies and proxies. They usually filter the money through a third-party organization. Just giving them money, one, means that the Henry Jackson Society was probably quite desperate for funds at the time, and two, it shows how close the connection is that they'd be willing to do this. The Home Office giving money to a think tank directly that is then delivering security policy is not a very
Well,
done thing. In fact, that is a quite a large faux pas that
I
people
was
try
going
to
to say, the
ignore.
next one you've got here is a Guardian link. Right-wing think tank pulls funds for Commons Group after disclosure row all the way back in
This
2014.
is back in 2014, yes. The Henry Jackson Society pulled the we talked it was mentioned in the previous document, but the Henry Jackson Society basically pulled funds for a parliamentary group because it was asked to disclose who was funding it. That is the level of opacity here. The Henry Jackson Society Registered Charity has provided an office and staff to organise meetings for the two groups chaired by Tory MP Bernard Jenkin and Labour MP Lesser Stewart. The arrangement also saw the Society's political director, Davies Lewin, and its events manager, Hannah Nom, given comms passes as part of this support.
See, you've seen their MP, Gisela Stuart. That'll be one of the very rare Labour war hawks. I bet those people are rubbing their hands to get back in
Well,
nowadays.
we've seen the Labour warhawks will come back up in some of our later
Look
streams.
at the think tank has attracted controversy in recent years, with key staff criticised in the past for allegedly anti-Muslim and anti-immigrant comments. Its associate director Douglas Murray complained last year that London had become a foreign country. And then you've also got Murray worked with bloody Robert Spencer, who's like, is he not also like just a fed?
Basically, well, when I see this obviously red meat for the existing activist left, but really it's to convince us. I
Yes,
honestly see
that these are our guys.
every time the Henry Jackson Society is mentioned, it's mentioned how extreme they are. But as we go through their programs, their rhetoric, and what they say, they are incredibly neoliberal
Yes.
to a cartoonish degree. The way they are portrayed in media, I believe, is to bolster their right-wing credibility and to outflank criticism from the right, because criticism from both directions is actually not something that a lot of these think tanks can manage.
No.
They are very obviously set up to be critiqued from a leftward perspective and defended from a rightward perspective. When the things reverse, as they do later on here, it all becomes very silly very quickly.
I mean, we can quickly go back to this one on page 20, which just has more. Not this one, sorry. The document that we were using earlier, that one you're on.
This one.
Yep, page 20 in here has even more details about the links between them and the Home Office.
Yes.
January 2015, 5 months before the Home Office made its first payment to HGS, Conservative MP Damien Collins hosted a lunch for them in Parliament. Collins was then a director of HGS, serving in that role from December 2010 to January 2017, when he
And he
was
was
replaced
replaced by
by
Michael
Michael
Gove.
Gove. Home Office made its first payment to the HGS account. John Hayes, then the Minister for Security, met with the HGS, which he said was an opportunity for HGS to explain their work relating to the Minister's portfolio.
Sada Cevid had a Henry Jackson Society staffer, Sophie Bolsover, working as a research assistant in his office. She then became the Henry Jackson Society's parliamentary manager in March 2016. She left the Home Secure she left the Home Secretary's office in August 2019 and became a special advisor to the government chief whip, Mark Spencer. Eight Conservatives MPs received benefits worth £10,798 from the Henry Jackson Society, which was paid to them by the Home Office.
Yes, and then this, we'll just finish with this one here. Priti Patel received £2,500 from the HGS in 2013 to fund her trip to Washington, D.C. to be a delegate at a forum organised by AIPAC.
It's just
See, that, I bet she wished the eye in that AIPAC said Indian.
well, we're going to be using this one next time, but you mentioned that the idea that a lot of the people who are involved in the Henry Jackson Society now are people who've been involved in the think tank scene, in quotes, for a very
Who,
long
yeah,
time.
they're either ex-policy exchange people or are vice versa, people who work for the Henry Jackson Society and then go work for Policy Exchange or the Centre for Social Cohesion
Yes.
or any one of these like dozens of groups that all essentially do the same thing.
There is great porosity between all these organizations. That's something we'll try and portray as we move forward. But once again, we've established the fact that Henry Jackson Society was founded on neocon warhawk principles, merged with an explicitly Israel lobby think tank that was
Yes.
part of the Israel lobby, and many of its members come from that think tank. And it is also very, very close to the Home Office specifically and the Conservative Party to a degree that it has had to have its charitable status called into question, which is quite rare for these well-connected NGOs. It is quite extraordinary how deep these links are for an institution which is posited to us as in some way dissident. But we will
Yes.
continue. All of this is quite standard, but when you see where their tendrils extend, you might be quite surprised.
I mean, there's just another one here. We've got a little bit about William Shawcross, as
Yes.
it decided not to spit out as a Wikipedia page this time. Anyway, there's just a little snippet about him. We all know he exists anyway, so we don't need that. But in 2008, he became a patron of a group called the Wiener Library, or the Wiener Library. That's the Wiener Library for Holocaust Education, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah.
And also in 2011, he joined the board of the Anglo-Israel Association and was appointed to the board of the Henry Jackson Society. This is William Shawcross, of course, of the Prevent Report. We can
Yes.
skip the sort of Wiener Society links and keep going here. That's, I think, one of the reports he did, Free to Be Extreme, which is
Yes.
one of the ones he worked on against Islamism. And again, I think that would be one of the ones that basically passed information directly onto the government, I would think.
Well, it also says a country is a country to the glowing assumption of far right extremists. There's a lot of back and forth here because the Henry Jackson Society has both tried to bolster the image of Islamists in comparison to far right extremists, but also bolster the image of far right extremism as the fastest growing threat.
Yes.
As we'll come to a little bit later.
This is some event they had at the Wiener Holocaust Library. Just about random different elements of the Holocaust, of course. And then we've got another one here from Shawcross
Well,
there.
I before we do this,
Oh.
like I said, the Henry Jackson Society was a holdover from the War on Terror, but it has morphed into an arm of the UK Conservative Party, as well as a way to wash policy ideas and inject the Tories' narrative and agenda into right-wing spaces. But it's also partaking in what we would consider countering the far right, in
Yes,
quotes.
this is the pivot that we sort of have discussed a number of times that people just haven't clicked on straight away, which is, of
Yes.
course, the methods used for policing Islamist terrorists would then be used on the rest of the population, and more often than not, the right-wing portion of the population, which is why Dr. Rikki Bhesan, another character that will come up in a moment, is doing an event on far-right manifestos, a critical analysis with work that he's helped, or work that Sorry, William Shawcross will have helped him with on this.
It's really sad, this one, because it's the Nazis, the real leftists, or leftists, the real Nazis stuff writ
Yes.
large. But it also just tries to fold in a lot of the far right stuff, almost with the Islamist stuff. They try
Yes.
and bridge it here, and they try to portray a unity extremist threat in which the violent agitators from left, extreme left and extreme right are equivalent, but also are something that needs to be consulted upon with the Henry Jackson Society and the government. They're
Yeah.
basically angling for more Home Office access with this, but it is starting to creep into the we are countering the far right stuff.
I mean, here's one of their online events they did in 2021, Abandoning the Far Right. Now, straight away, they name drop cultural nationalism, which is
Yes.
basically a term MI5 invented about 2 years
Well, no,
ago.
it's an existing term, but in terms of security policy, I've only ever seen it used by MI5. From cultural nationalism to white supremacy, the far right has become a significant counter-terrorism priority over the last few years across Europe, the UK, North America. Basically, this event is directly inspired by and directly references in many different terms the Home Office report we went through, the
Yes.
Intelligence and Security Committee of Parliament. If I can find it here, apparently I can't spell.
I'm not sure if that one appears in there or. Oh, yes, it does. Sorry,
It
cultural
does,
nationalist
yes.
groups. But just for an extra bit of context, on one end, we have Isabel Sawkins using the work she does with pro-Israel groups to push the Tory Party policy of the Online Harms Bill through combating anti-Semitism in the UK. We have William Shawcross working with Prevent and the MI5 and other parts of the security state, working with the Henry Jackson Society to bring the framework of that whole sort of combating terrorism thing into no longer talking about jihadists, but talking about the far
Well,
right.
the result is an increased membership of cultural nationalists, white nationalists, and white supremacist groups, which cultural nationalists, white supremacists.
Yeah.
It's referencing exactly an MI5 document, which they are using as a blueprint to talk about, the fact that these are the aspects of the far right. And by using that term, the Henry Jackson Society is saying that a belief that Western culture is under threat from mass immigration to Europe and from a lack of integration by certain ethnic and cultural groups, the ideology tends to focus on rejection of cultural practices such as the wearing of burqa or perceived rise of the use of Sharia law. In the UK, this has been closely associated with as the anti-Islam groups. They're effectively telling on themselves
Yeah.
and saying that, in a non-regime sense, if you are not government approved, what they are saying is classed as terrorism. But because they are saying it, it is not. And a lot of the wrangling about the Prevent strategy and who gets to say what is part of this, because they really want to muzzle the quote-unquote British right and become those who speak for it,
Yes.
with those who would speak in the same way they do in a performative manner being arrested.
Yeah. And what we
That's
can get.
what they say when they say increased membership of cultural nationalists, white nationalists, and white supremacist groups, and the ever-widening global online reach of outspoken far-right individuals. This is their latest project. But unfortunately, these people also basically just live on GB News.
Well, this is going to be the latter point of this, which is think of all the different snippets we've tried to make you understand with who these people are and what they do. Now
Yes.
we're going to spend maybe hopefully no more than about the next half hour or so showing you the fact that they are on your TV, they're in Twitter, they're on all sorts of different supposedly dissident and opposition outlets talking about this stuff almost
They are
24/7.
everywhere.
Yes.
The what we've just described to you seems cartoonish. These people you think would look like complete Bush era, whacked out, you know. You think these people would be obvious, but they're not. And you, if you watch GB News, if you interact in these spheres, you will see them constantly referenced. You will see them constantly used, and you will see them constantly referred to as an authority because they work for the Henry Jackson Society.
Yes.
And most people pass off the think tanks. They just don't think about them. They think, oh, they must be a well-established, long-running organization. That's how this works. That's how the think tank sausage gets made. They convince you that these people are in some form experts, and they also convince you that these people are on your side.
Yes.
They are not.
Most importantly, I think, is that latter part that they are
Yes.
really trying to frame themselves as, because if you look at any of the background stuff, it's very obviously that they are not looking to help us. I mean, as you've got highlighted here, Charlotte Littlewood, former counter-extremism coordinator for the UK government, which
Yes.
means her job has literally been to police essentially people like ourselves to some extent.
Yes. Here she is, Charlotte Littlewood, research fellow, PhD candidate, Arab and Islamic Studies at the University of Exeter. What does that have to do with the UK far right?
Counter-extremism coordinator for an East London borough. From this, Charlotte went on to found her own community interest company with the aim of countering extremism and promoting equality. She developed and took projects that focused on women's rights and tackling domestic violence in the West Bank and Palestine. She consulted for Muslims against anti-Semitism.
Bruh, we've got it here, perfect. But here's Charlotte Littlewood, just on GB News talking about the rise of the far right
God,
with
that's
the.
not Tom Harwood, is it? Or Darren Grimes or some
I'm
scrog like
not
that.
even sure who this is. But again, this is constantly fire hosed onto your TV screen.
TV.
This is GB News. GB News consistently platforms people from the Henry Jackson Society. And that's how you end up with a pipeline from the UK Home Office, from the Israel lobby, and from the US War Hawks directly into the living room of supposedly politically disfranchised British right-wingers.
Yeah, and they've not just been doing this recently. They've been at this for a while. I mean, just before we get into some of the other
I
examples.
just want to play this this clip quickly because
Fair enough.
it's this is the type of coverage. When you see this, a lot of people just discount this. They think, oh, it's GB News, they're boomers. But this stuff is being deliberately placed in the, you know, deliberately injected into the eyeballs of people to effectively de-radicalize them and turn them into what would be considered a good Tory. Oh, you probably can't hear that, guys. Give me a second here. I keep the desktop audio off because stuff likes to autoplay. So here we go.
Charlotte, thank you for making the time for us this afternoon. I suppose people might raise an eyebrow to this idea of far-right terrorism, given that all of the incidents in the last year or two, and there's been a member of parliament who has been murdered, there's been a car that exploded near a hospital, there have been a number of incidents. Have any of them been directly linked to the far right?
I think while we understand that Islamist extremism and the threat from that is very real, by saying that there is a rising threat in far-right related activity is not to deny that there is an ongoing threat from Islamist related activity. So we have seen just under 30% of all foiled extremist related terrorist offences in the UK coming from right-wing inspired groups. So just under 30% of that which was foiled. So you have to look at what we are stopping as well as what is materialising. The whole point of funding towards our security services and counter-terrorism policing is to ensure these attacks don't happen. So we really do need to look at what is being stopped really than what is materialising. And we need to understand that this is funding to MI5 to be able to do counter-terrorism work, to include counter-terrorism work against Islamist-inspired attacks.
How safe are we right now?
I'll leave it there because the rest of it is just waffle. But yeah, it's pretty clear that this organization is being funded by the Home Office. You would never guess that that person received money basically directly from MI5, would you?
I was gonna quickly mention before we get into Emma Webb, who's actually just a presenter on GB News. They just have her up there.
Yes.
But this isn't new. That Raheem Kassam was employed as campaigns director in the Henry Jackson Society in 2011. To manage electoral campaigns in the UK and US.
I believe Jess gave him a book once.
And Kassam was also the founder and director of another project, HGS Students' Right Thing, which is all just nonsense, free speech, gay stuff, which is discussed further below. He's been a member of the Gatestone Institute, we had that one before, of course, and the Middle East Forum, another one we had before, and attempted to found the UK version of the Tea Party. He was also involved in being one of the co-founders of Breitbart News in London. Douglas Murray joined as associate director after HGS's merger with the Centre for Social Cohesion in 2011.
Yes. That was just them paying him.
The CCS.
And before that, he was also part of the Just Journalism thing. Douglas Murray started his think tank career with a self-proclaimed think tank that was just him and Israel lobby money.
But Douglas Murray and Raheem Kassam seemed to be like the prototype mold to get to these characters who, of course, like Douglas Murray, Mrs. Emma Webb also did a stint at Civitas. She was the Deputy Research Director at the Free Speech Union and now sits on their advisory council. Remember that Save Our Statues nonsense as well. But before that, of course, she was the Director of the Forum on Integration, Democracy and Extremism. As a political and cultural commentator, Emma has written for The Telegraph, Times, Spectator, Independent, Spiked, Unheard, Conservative Home, CapEx, and among others, and regularly appears on broadcast media, including radio, talk radio, GB News, and the BBC. Now, she's like a GB News presenter, as far as I'm aware. She has like a regular slot on there, and is just a war hawk.
Well, again, you see all of this. You've seen where it's coming from. We've shown you the pipeline. We've shown you the funding. We've shown you the opacity. We don't even know who they won't tell us.
No.
You know, there are unknowns on unknowns, to quote the Eternal Rums film.
Yeah, and if you look just on Henry Jackson's website, there are pages of this stuff. Alan Mendoza on Times Radio discusses the recent unrest in Russia. Putin Wagner Group, mutiny. Farage on allegations that hate preachers are being loud in the UK. Charlotte Littlewood again. These people are fucking everywhere. They are a plague.
What you notice is in places like Unheard, Talk TV, GB News, all these places, a lot of people have been pointing out for a very long time, all of these useless wets, for want of a better term, all of these people who have come in and push what is considered a de-radicalization narrative. And here is why. You now know why GB News is full of wets, because it is full of people from MI5 and the Zion lobby.
Yep.
That's who it is. That's who the Henry Jackson Society is. And that's what they push. And they are just everywhere. They are on Sky News. They are on Talk TV. They're on GB News. They have soaked themselves into the media landscape. And they have used the money they have been given to to turn GB News and make sure it is containment news.
Yes, no, exactly.
This is the direct line between you and the Home Office. And between you and all of these lobbyist groups, between you and the Warhawks, between you and Israel.
And now we're going to show how it gets even closer, because we're going to come on to a gentleman called Raqib Eshan.
Yes.
Who, I think if we go to the next one...
We have really kind of a worked example of how the Henry Jackson Society attempts to inject itself into an explicitly dissident right organization. Well, here we go.
Yeah, well, here's just the man himself. We have the ultimate goal to set an example of a successful multiracial democracy in the world. Raheem Hassan on fucking GB News with Spiked's Andrew Doyle.
Yes, it's him basically worshipping the Windrush stuff.
Exactly.
There's people just going in the comments being like, what the fuck is this, as they usually do.
Well, but this man was, and it isn't so much mentioned on his social media anymore for reasons that are unbeknownst to me.
Yeah.
But he wrote for the Mallard. And he wrote for the UK Mallard for months.
And I just want to emphasise how much Raheem Hassan hates you.
Yes.
And he's sat here celebrating your replacement on the 75th anniversary of the Windrush, as GB News applauds the multiracial democracy that Britain now is.
Well, I will briefly mention as well, for people that watch some of our streams from other week will have seen a mention of this man and how his idea for making Britain conservative is to bring in loads of Indians and Africans.
Well, for those of you who don't know, the Mallard they seem to have completely fallen off the radar. They were a publication we were interested in. And they were a publication that
is one I wrote for myself a number of times.
You tried to, yes. They butchered a few of your articles badly.
Story for a different day.
Yes, but the Mallard is supposed to be a distant right organization that had a presence, I believe, at a few events, or at least they were going to, and then they patched it and decided to go to the Conservative Party.
They have a presence at the first Shieldings event, and I think at some of the other events that they have been at, they definitely had a presence at the National Conservatism Conference, but that's a topic for one of the future streams. But here they are. They're announcing the fantastic Dr. Raqib Eshan will be writing for the Mallard Weekly. He's a research fellow for the Henry Jackson Society and holds a PhD in social integration.
Well,
and here's some of the stuff he writes. You know, Dr. Raqib Eshan, with freedom comes responsibility. Some people have to learn the hard way that freedom comes with responsibility. Ooh, he sounds like Jordan Peterson, but he's brown. Yeah. He's so based. This was an article he wrote that ended up in the Mallard. Now, you try and find that nowadays, it's gone.
In fact, all of the Mallard's archives before January 2023 have been deleted. We had grave trouble kind of rescuing some of this stuff. But
here it gets worse. The NGO that has taken and working hand in glove with the Home Office and Zionist geopolitical influences as big as APAC is featuring on their website an article done by one of their researchers also featured in the Mallard.
Yes. So here is how our insurgent dissident magazines are now staffed by Zionist think tanks.
I just want to clarify as well. We mean no animosity to the people at the Mallard. We just want to make sure that this is known to just essentially everyone that doesn't already.
Well,
if the people from the Mallard want to come and say a few words to us or mention anything publicly as to how this happened or how it got ramped back down, we would appreciate that.
We tried to be discreet with this once it was brought to our attention that this was being sorted out. We weren't discreet at first. We were quite incensed by what happened, and you'll see why in a second.
I have to admit, I still haven't really seen any evidence to suggest that it has quote-unquote been sorted out, but
the problem is that the Mallard is just a perfect example of how an outfit like the Henry Jackson Society, with its high-end Whitehall links and its extreme links to particular international lobbies, is allowed into the pages of an explicitly distant magazine. And it did so in its first properly partnered piece, created a huge amount of damage. Here he is.
The England My England issue. This is actually their print magazine. So they've had an interview with Peter Hitchens and our favourite, Calvin Robinson, of course.
Yes.
The Reverend in Chief. And Dr. Raqib Eshan. And in some way, William Closten guy, who's the Social Democratic Party bloke.
Yes.
Another investigation for another bloody day. we can keep going here.
Yeah.
There is, then after this, yeah. I just thought this was him like a week ago, just like spouting off his head.
Yeah.
And I thought, how can this man be seen as right-wing and pro-British?
This man, through the financial connections of the Henry Jackson Society, is able to get himself into places like GB News and onto the pages of the Mallard. This is who is representing the distant right when the money gets involved.
Mm.
This is how the Home Office reaches into the pages of your distant magazine and scrambles it and replaces it with this shite.
Yes.
This is how it happens.
And in the same vein as well, another regular contributor to the Mallard has been the Henry Jackson Society's Raseem Kassan, when they did a whole big special, with the next tweet that's in the line there, on election stuff. Jack Posobiec and all these different people, and Matt Palumbo. We'll not get to that yet, because I thought that was going to be in here. But we might as well get to it in a minute, though.
Yes. The real thing, and fair enough, there's people who write for them that are part of a Zionist, globalist, Home Office connected and funded think tank. That's bad enough on its own. But when it starts compromising the copy to an extreme degree, is when it gets bad. And that's when we really noticed. This is what really put the Henry Jackson Society on our radar, was somebody called Isabel Sawkins. I believe she's now left the Henry Jackson Society.
And as I mentioned before, she was the one that happened to be doing a sort of online Zoom chat about how do we combat anti-Semitism online.
But here's the part that we found...
The smoking gun, as it were.
Yeah, here's the part we found so egregious that we actually took the mallard to task and resulted in the deletion, I believe, of this piece in its entirety.
Because you won't find Isabel Sawkins' Twitter anymore either, will you?
No, you won't.
She seems to have disappeared completely off the map.
But the mallard put out a piece called... about the bombing of Baban Yar. The bombing is the destruction of history, a violation of the memory of all those that died in Baban Yar 80 years ago. Nothing is safe from Vladimir Putin's megalomania, not even the memory of the Holocaust.
Click the next image, source, because we've got like a tiny snippet of the article I actually screenshot back at the time, because these two screenshots are the only thing, other than a couple of tweets that mention it, that you would know that this article even existed.
Yes.
And this is Isabel Sawkins writing. The West now has a critical responsibility to prevent history from being further erased. Zelensky himself acknowledged this in a tweet when he wrote that what is the point of saying never again for 80 years if the world stays silent when a bomb drops on the same site of Baban Yar? Now,
the only problem with this is...
It's what, not true.
One, it is complete NATO Zionist Zogchel propaganda. In the pages, I looked at this like, what the fuck is this? It also isn't true.
No.
Baban Yar Memorial, from the Times of Israel, Baban Yar Memorial wasn't hit, but Zelensky finds tool to rally Jews worldwide. The Mallard, as a dissident organization, through their hookup with the Henry Jackson Society, allowed themselves to be used as a pathway for naked NATO propaganda with a Zionist bent.
I want to focus on a very specific security state angle here.
Yes.
Which is how they go around controlling and disrupting narratives and groups.
Yes.
They know that one of the only things that us as a dissident right are not wholly agreed on is the approach to Ukraine-Russia issue.
Yes.
They have a byline on this, and they have a byline that they stick hard to. Now, if they come into our space, and they come in with their byline that they all stick to, and they repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, before you know it, it becomes the only topic of conversation amongst our folk. So we no longer, you know, all the other things we'd be talking about, organisations, NGOs, demographics, all these other issues that matter, no, we need to be debating this. And your whole thing just becomes collapsed.
Well, the Henry Jackson Society was stupid enough to inject it into somewhere like the Mallard. And the Mallard, to their credit, when it was pointed out to them, they were quick to dispense with it. Because it was incredibly egregious for the kind of publication that's supposed to be. But this is how Isabel Sawkins functions. Here she is in The Spectator talking about uncovering Russian soldiers' use as rape as a weapon. Isabel Sawkins is because Zelensky's wartime rhetoric in The Spectator, The Jewish Chronicle, The Spectator, CapEx, The Diplomat. Basically, they're, you know, how has Russian World War II memory shaped the invasion of Ukraine? She was, for a while, their pet Jewish war hawk.
Yep.
She has since graduated to be part of the Institute for Jewish Policy Research, where she once again puts out articles in places like The Spectator.
What does the future hold for the Ukrainian Jewish community? How has anti-Semitism in the UK changed?
She was also in the pages of Unheard. The smear isn't oft... basically, she's talking about the denazification narrative in the pages of Unheard.
Yes. One of these other tweets is going to come up here as well. Mr. Bruno Leet, I know you follow me on Twitter and may or may not be a watcher of a show. You were one of the few people, I think, that caught this live.
Yes.
And were tweeting to other people about it and essentially pointed out to them that NBC had already called this story bunk about a day or two before the Mallard put it out.
Yes.
Now, I know who some of those people who run the Mallard are. They spend quite a lot of time on Twitter reading the news. I would have thought they might... I've seen an article saying that this thing that these groups were, you know, claiming was actually untrue. However, it seems they didn't, and they just let someone put it up on their website unfiltered.
Yes, and that's really... The problem is, laziness is how the pre-packaged solutions of the NGOs and the think tanks get you.
Yes.
If you are somebody who's running a small publication or a small YouTube channel, or let's say a small media outfit, as we'll get onto next time, you are able to have all of these what are described in British politics as policy wonks injected into whatever space you're in. They are media cleared. They are prepackaged. They are your prepackaged experts from the think tanks, and they will spout whatever line is the think tank's line this week. That week, it was the supposed bombing of the Holocaust Memorial by Vladimir Putin. And they just so happened to put it in the pages of somewhere that couldn't actually stomach it for once.
No.
And that was their mistake. And that was our gain, really, because we were able to show this pipeline. The pipeline that, you know, you set up a decent organization, you shake hands and with people like us and get articles from people like us, and then you find yourself deeply embarrassed by globalist NATO lies put onto your pages by a member of a think tank you thought was based.
Yep.
And that over and over and over again is how this works. A lot of the time, people don't even know they're platforming these people, and they don't even know what these people, what these people's links are.
I mean, there's Ricky Bessant basically
repeating the lie,
the exact same narrative. Nothing quite like denazifying a country by bombing a memorial in its capital to one of the largest massacres of the Holocaust.
Again, Ricky Bessant here is lying. In fact, by this point, he knows he's lying. Again, so that's Isabel Sorkin's page here. And that's
the Baban Yar thing about it being debunked. I mean, we've got another mention here again of Dr. Ricky Bessant. And I think also within here, there is a little mention of our friend Calvin Robinson.
We'll get on to Mr. Calvin Robinson at some point.
Would you rather go through the snippet of text I've got here first?
Let's quickly just go through some of the concluding stuff here.
Yeah. There is a very clear pipeline between the Home Office, Israeli advocacy groups, US war hawks, the intelligence community, i.e. the security services, and our circles via the Henry Jackson side, which is the medium through which all of these people have moved from one to the other.
Yes.
It is egregious that these people are platformed on supposedly alternative media networks without pushback or a caveat about who or what they represent. GB News, especially in its links to other supposedly dissident news organizations, serve as a pipeline for these paid and bought actors to inject themselves into the narrative.
There is a huge network of these think tank pod people, and they all have connections to the UK establishment, and especially the Tory party on the right, a supposed right in some way or another. And they try to drown out normal voices when it comes to contentious issues. One such person we will discuss next time by the think tanks they have worked for or been associated with, and that person just so happens to be Calvin Robinson. A lot of people have asked us what our problem with Calvin Robinson is, and to be fair, we'll probably have to explain it at length, because he is one of these policy wonk people. He has participated in a report by the Henry Jackson Society, he may not have known who they were, and also, I believe, a panel, A Voice for Black Britons with Rakib Esham again, and this, I believe, Rakib Esham was the author of the report, so he's at least willing to work with people who spout this Zionist, globalist, NATO nonsense via the Home Office, but once again, he is not a Henry Jackson alum, so he doesn't fit in this stream, but he is cut very much from the same cloth of these people. He is another pre-made expert, and as we'll see, has links to think tanks that have very, very troubling funding sources. The Henry Jackson Society is not unique. It is one of many organizations like this. It would be impossible for us to zoom in on each of these and give you a detailed picture like we have here. But we wanted to show you, through kind of the Mallard story, how these people will come down and they will destroy a distant organization's credibility overnight if they are allowed to. They will put the kibosh on you and they will turn you against each other.
And I don't want to like put my hand up and be like, look at me, I'm really special. But who knows how far they'd have gone with their infiltration project had I not basically just flat out called it all out.
It's just amazing that we have a publication that was willing to go to the original Shieldings conference, or at least members of it were willing to go to the original Shieldings conference. And then a year later, really, they end up with a neocon think tank putting talking points on their pages that they would not otherwise be happy with because they have been starstruck by a think tank. I hate all of this because this happens continuously. It happens with GB News contributors going into different areas as well.
Yes.
It's not just the Henry Jackson side. It's all these other places. And like we said, GB News is really one of the nexuses of this. It is how the Home Office and all of these global interest groups that are not paid attention to by the right at large come to spew their filth into your ears and your eyeballs.
Yes. I mean, this is one of the things that we keep mentioning. A vital component of putting the woke away and resetting the new sort of political norm is creating a whole new class of talking heads and apparatchiks and policy wonks that say exactly what the regime wants to hear, whether that's for good or bad in that own individual's right.
Again, though, we've gone to great lengths here to show you the history of the Henry Jackson Society, its ideological underpinnings and its relation to big international money and just the UK Home Office. And yet you will see people like Calvin Robinson or people like Rashim Eshan put forward on supposedly distant platforms as the voices of the right.
Yes,
and they will come in and they will spew what is the same de-escalation propaganda we see from the internal documents of the Henry Jackson Society.
Maybe it's something we can sort of close on as a point here. And it's this sort of maybe a little bit of the elephant in the room, as it were. Yeah. We know there is a certain man from Swindon who has had some of these people on his programme. Now, I am willing, for the time being, to assume that he's got a bit ahead of himself and has brought people on that he is not fully background checked, or he somehow believes can be useful to him without their agendas coming over the top of his. Now, that's not going to work forever.
No.
So we will continue to keep digging into these think tanks, and we will probably, and I know for a fact, certainly, will uncover more people that you've seen on things like the Lotus Ears, and especially things like GB News and elsewhere.
GB News, Unheard, Post-Millennial, all of these places that people consume unthinkingly are riddled with think tank people who get their money from large NGOs and unfriendly government.
In the same vein, though, Aura McIntyre, someone who we are close with, he has people from Unheard on his show.
Yes.
You know, so that there is a very blurred line, really, that we could use to separate ourselves and these people. And there'd be a lot of people if we tried to put our hands up and say, you know, zero tolerance policy for people from these think tanks anymore. There'd be quite a lot of annoyed folk, whether they're ignorant of what they're doing or not. You know, we don't mean to do anything of this as a personal or vindictive attack.
No, we are not.
We want to make it known that this is what's going on. These are the people that are involved in doing it. And please, for the love of God, be mindful and call folk out when you see them working with these folk.
There'll be more coming forward. There'll be more think tanks we'll be talking about. There'll be more people we're talking about. We'll especially be talking about the Conservative Party and having to sever kind of links with them. I think that platforming quote-unquote disgruntled Tories is part of the strategy when it comes to all this. And all of these people we've mentioned are connected quite heavily to all of the anti-woke UK stuff we see going on. They are the ones running it. The Home Office and other people are the ones funding it. And we can continuously prove that think tank by think tank, initiative by initiative, will be tackling people like Policy Exchange, Turning Point UK, Chatham House, the Institute for Economic Education,
Institute for Economic Affairs.
Economic Affairs, a whole bunch of others. And the real point is just AA's octopus.
This is not emergent. This doesn't just happen.
This doesn't just happen, but I hope you will see people who are think tank stooges, who are funded by people you would consider incredibly odious, who you would consider an enemy. You will see those people on GB News. Mm. And via GB News, you will see those people on the Lotus Eaters. You will see those people in the pages of all of the tabloids, all of the larger distant media organizations, because they are the seat fillers. They drown us out by using these people from these backgrounds that are, when you look at them in their totality, wacky.
Yes.
They are. It is absolutely insane that the Henry Jackson Society will be considered in the same room as the dissident right, and yet they have managed it. They have managed to lever themselves in through layers of separation and obfuscation of funding. I just thought this last one was funny, in that the Henry Jackson Society tried to host an event with the Rothschilds, and because they tried to claim a bit too much credit, Lady Rothschild sued them because of her ego.
Yes.
They
attracted Prince Charles and Bill Clinton.
Yeah, here's Ellen Mendoza. Lady of the Rothschild claims the Henry Jackson Society, a registered charity, and executive director Ellen Mendoza, are holding £137,000 of surplus funds from the conference that should be returned to the couple's investment company, E.L. Rothschild. Oh, dear. Oh, they thought...
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
It turns out the Henry Jackson Society isn't senior enough to get a proper backhander from the Rothschilds.
No.
But they sure tried. Yes, nothing... I'll be quite glib with it, but nothing says dissident right like hosting an event with the Rothschilds. But we'll not go much further than that.
I think... We've really come to an end for the stuff that we have on this.
We do. Apologies for it being a little scattered in places. That's my fault.
There's a lot
to get through.
There's a silly amount of all this stuff, and we've kind of had to piece it together between lots of different sources, because other than this stream that we've just done, all this information isn't in one place.
No, a lot of it is kind of disgruntled left people who were a bit upset
all
about
this
things.
Information isn't in one
there's a lot of it.
From
no, a lot
bits,
of it is
the
Henry Jackson
Society
and kind of the think tank thing in
general.
Were a bit
done,
upset
all
about
this
things.
Information isn't in one
there's
place.
A lot of it. No, a lot of it. I don't know what started auto playing there.
It's not just been like the GB news clip playing in the background the entire time, is it?
I don't think so. I'm going to try and figure out what's actually playing here. Apologies for this one, guys. I don't know.
I've not seen anyone in the chat mention any audio playing. So.
Oh, I think it's our stream is open. So. Yeah, slight boomer moment there. We got some crosstalk from our own screen. A stream. That's because when you switch to it, it starts playing.
But I don't know. I will, as an addendum, just mention that if anyone has any further questions about this stuff, and they want to work out how to go about informing other people of what has gone on, who these people are, and who they work for, please come to us, because we have as many receipts as we can collect. And I think, other than that, I will just remind people to never relax and keep your kippas dry.
Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in, and have yourselves a very good night.
Item status bound.